We're certainly glad that you're here this afternoon. I'd like for us to consider a word that we read about, different actions and reactions and so on and so forth in the Bible, and that's the word despair. Many people who hear the word despair relate it to the downtrodden, the homeless, the mentally afflicted, in other words, those less fortunate than themselves. But I believe that many people, no matter their place in society, whether they're the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, whether they're the good, the bad, or the ugly, they have at one time or another rubbed elbows with this fellow by the name of despair. The critical thing is for us not to be best friends with him, or worse, take up residence with him by a lifetime of being married to him. Another thing we must consider is that in most instances, this emotion may be undetected by the person standing right next to you in the same environment. In other words, this despair may be within the mental realm of that person rather than the physical realm. Despair defined: a loss of hope, hopelessness, someone or something that causes helplessness, to lose, to give up, or to be without hope, gloom, disheartenment, resignation, surrender, despondency, discouragement, and this last one, which, once you think about it, you'll see how it fits. The word is obsolete. How many times have we taken some product, we say, this thing is just hopeless, and we toss it in the trash. Therefore, we have determined that it is obsolete. But obsolete means despair. It refers to a state of mind caused by circumstances that seem too much to cope with. Maybe college exams coming up. It may drive one to furious efforts, even if at random, to the abandonment of hope, impelling one to a furious struggle against adverse circumstances with utter disregard of those consequences of what you are about to do. Sadly, the ultimate fulfillment of this would be suicide. Suicide is an eternal decision for a temporary problem. A couple of human quotes concerning despair. Mahalia Jackson said, "The blues are the songs of despair, but gospel songs are the songs of hope." John Dome said, "Despair is the damp of hell, as joy is the serenity of heaven." What about some Bible symptoms of despair? It will make you crazy. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 34. "So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see." Moses is relaying the message from God that if you're disobedient to me, this is what will happen to you. You will be driven mad. Another thing, fear and insecurity. A little bit later in the same chapter, Deuteronomy, the 66th verse, "Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life." Another point, complaining and forgetfulness. Oh, we see this throughout the Old Testament with the children of Israel. But in Exodus, the 16th chapter, verse 2 and 3, "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, And they said, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Really? Is that why God brought them out there? They were rather forgetful. I doubt if they were sitting around large pots of meat, laying those brick. Another thing, weeping and complaining. Numbers, the 14th chapter, verse 1 and 2. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in this wilderness. Comfortlessness is another aspect of despair. Job, the 7th chapter, in verse 3, weariness nights, verse 4, tossing till dawn, verse 6, my days are spent without hope, verse 7, my eyes will never again see good, verse 10, shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him any more. Verse 11, therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Verse 14 of Job, the 7th chapter, you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. And in verse 16, I loathe my life. Another aspect of despair is despondency. Psalm 22, verse 14 and 15. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. Verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Another aspect of despair is wretchedness and a desire to die. Numbers, the 11th chapter, verse 14 and 15. I am not able to bear all these things alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Well, evidently, this despair is contagious, because the guy who just said this was Moses, God's spokesman. Moses, the man who led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Now let's take a look at some Bible examples of despair in action. By Abimelech for his honor. Judges, the 9th chapter, in verse 54. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor-bearer, and said, draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, a woman killed him. So the young man thrust him through, and he died. What about a king for retaliation? Judges, the 16th chapter, verse 30. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. I should say a judge. By a prophet, due to fear. 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. You see, it affects not only those that are not with God, but affects those that are with God. 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. This is Elijah talking. Our great prophet Elijah. He said, but he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Of course, his concern was Ahab and Jezebel. What about despair by a pregnant woman when physical and spiritual calamity was told to her? 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, verse 19 and 20. Now his, that be Eli, his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. Verse 29, And about that time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. You see, the physical and the spiritual aspect of what was going on overwhelmed her. Even David and his army fell prey to this despair. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter and verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. This is concerning the Amalekites when they destroyed Ziklag and they captured two of David's wives. We turn a little farther in history. By the Jews concerning Haman's conspiracy. In Esther, the 4th chapter, and verse 3, "And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." Well, what goes around comes around. And this despair fell upon Haman. In Esther, the 7th chapter, in verse 6 and 7, "So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king." And of course, this is after Esther exposed Haman's wickedness. By Job's friends, when they see him for the first time. In Job, the 2nd chapter, in verse 12, "And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven." Verse 13, "So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great." This might be where we come up with the phrase, "Misery loves company." The sailors at sea in a storm. Psalm 107, 23 through 27 talks about that. Jonah, the 1st chapter in verse 5, when he tried to flee from God. And then the reason that I thought of this sermon, Acts, the 28th chapter, beginning with verse 18. This is on the trip to Rome as Paul is headed there from Caesarea to plead his case before Caesar. "And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship." Verse 19, "On the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands." Verse 20, "And now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us," watch it, "all hope that we should be saved was finally given up." That's despair. We have despair in the story in Luke, the 16th chapter, concerning a rich dead man's concern for his family. In Luke 16 and verse 27, "Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Despair by a Roman ruler hearing the gospel. In Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 25, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." I imagine Felix had many restless nights as he considered what Paul had pleaded for his soul concerning the gospel. Despair, even on the part of the people who killed Christ. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, all of what Peter had rehearsed to them, that Jesus was the Christ and that they had crucified the Christ, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" the solution to despair? Well, in the Old Testament, prayer was offered by the sailors in Psalm 107. Let's read that. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He guides them to their desired haven. Prayer was offered by David in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And by those on the ship with Jonah in Jonah the first chapter and verse 5. And then we might take a look at Psalm 146. How did they overcome this despair? Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I think that's another way of saying sanity. In other words, he's not going to be driven mad because I'm praising God. Do not put your trust in princes, verse 3, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You remember what one of the definitions was of despair? Without hope. What does this say? Whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedoms to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Your help is in the Lord. Their help was in the Lord, through prayer and song. But that was then, and this is now. So what about the non-Christian today? Obedience to God. Remember Acts, the second chapter, and verse 37, when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They're in a state of despair. They might be wringing their hands, rehashing what went on 50 days earlier, what they had done. Peter gives the answer in verse 38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, is referring to the Gentiles. You see, this despair is no respecter of persons. It can afflict anyone, Jew, Gentile, Samaritan. But Paul says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, watch this, having no hope, and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He, Jesus Christ, Himself is our peace. And Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we become a Christian, we've got to put that despair aside. Yes, it's going to come upon us at a time, maybe we run a stop sign, and we run into somebody, and maybe we have some despair. What are we going to do? Is anybody hurt? And so on and so forth. And maybe our blood pressure just goes out the roof. But that's just temporary, especially when we find out that no one was killed. But we can't dwell on it. God said, Christ said, when you're plowing, you can't look back. Because despair is behind you. And hope is in front of you. And the solution for the Christian, someone who's already obeyed the gospel, well, we must have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's that word hope. Hope. Hope for. Despair is without hope. Here's the hope. How do we grow this hope? How do we grow our faith? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It amounts to study. And we must pray with faith. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't you imagine all those examples that I gave, those people were anxious for all of those different things, those sailors on those storm-tossed ships. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, even when you're in despair or have despair, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, aren't we? That hotline to God is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But do we think to pray, as the song asks? And the result of this praying on the part of the Christian, peace of mind. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, just another verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul, what will it guard it from? Despair. And it brings about a different mindset. The next verse, Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, if there's anything virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We spend too much time meditating upon the negative things or the things that never will happen. We have to trust in God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Despair. It probably sometime or another has happened to all of us. But we can't let it overwhelm us. It happened to Elijah. It happened to Moses. I look forward to the day that I can talk to Elijah and talk to Moses. So evidently they overcame it. They weren't overwhelmed by it. I won't ever talk to Judas Iscariot. You see, he had despair. And he committed suicide. I think Peter had despair when he denied the Christ. He went out and wept bitterly, but he overcame it. You see the difference? I'll get to talk to Peter someday, but I'll never talk to Judas. So in conclusion, most despair is only temporary, such as a storm-tossed ship. But some of our actions, for instance, suicide, they have a permanent consequence, eternal damnation. May we ever realize that God makes a way of escape. Sometimes we're so caught up in the moment, we can't see the way of escape. Our blood pressure goes up. We break out in a sweat. We think, what can I do? You know, sometimes all you have to do is like David, when Nathan confronted him and say, I have sinned. First Corinthians 10:13, there is a way of escape. And many times this way of escape is accomplished by praying to God and looking for the escape door. And then having the courage to go through the escape door. It's kind of like divorce. You know, the fella had a sermon a few years ago, the best time to divorce somebody is before you ever marry them. If you're in a situation and you're engaged to somebody and it just doesn't feel right, get out of that situation. Don't live a life of despair. There is a way of escape. The way of escape for the rich man would have been obedience to God while he was alive. Do you realize that he was a soul seeker in hell? That's what the rich man was. He was a soul seeker in hell for his brethren that hadn't died. The way of escape for Felix would have been to obey the gospel. But I just imagine he had several nights of sleeplessness. And the way of escape for those who crucified the Christ was obeying the gospel. They had the courage to ask, what shall we do? And Peter told them. And then in Acts 2:41, they who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to them. Don't allow despair to rule your life. Don't allow despair to ruin your life. It should only be temporary. It doesn't have to be a lifetime commitment. So, do you have a desire to obey the gospel? Maybe you're in despair on what you should do with your soul that will rest eternally somewhere. Romans 10:14, how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And we have to believe, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We have to repent in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Imagine that, the times of refreshing, there is no despair there. We have to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We have to be baptized, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. And we have to be faithful all the days of our life. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And verse 11, so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there despair in your life that you need to get rid of, either via obeying the gospel or maybe repenting of something that you've done and brought shame upon Christ and the church? If we can help you in any way, come forward now while we stand and sing.